each month throughout the year about our Sunday school theme of serving in God's diner, talking about how we as the people of God, we take all those wonderful biblical images of food and we put them into practical application in our own lives. And today our gospel contained the familiar words of Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," because we all know that we need our daily bread to successfully live our lives. But if you do not know, Martin Luther in his Small Catechism, remember this wonderful book? His list of what is involved in daily bread is a lot more than just the food we put on the table. Here's what Luther says daily bread is really all about. It includes our food and our drink. It includes our clothes and our shoes, our houses and our farms, our fields and our livestock, our money and our property. I like this next one. An upright spouse, upright children, and an upright household. You're going to love this one 2 weeks from an election, right? We are to pray for an upright and faithful government and good rulers. Daily bread includes good weather. It includes peace. It includes health of our bodies, decency and honor. And finally, Luther says, daily bread includes good friends and faithful neighbors. There's a whole lot in Luther's list because he wants us to remember something very important about this prayer. Everything we have in life, not just our food and our drink, but everything we have in life is a gift from God's gracious hand. Even if we make the things, our shoes, our clothing, our houses, God is the one who created everything from which we make them. And in the last result, God is the one who made you and me and gave us the ability to live. So understanding that everything we have is a gift from God, we go back to this image you're going to see all through the year as we talk about the importance of sharing. Sharing is important. And today I want to ask the question, why do we share? Now, we all know we're supposed to share, but why do we share? What is our motivation for sharing? That is an important question, and one I don't think people ask a whole lot. So let's go through some motivations for sharing. First off, we have to realize a lot of people don't. There are a lot of people who just ain't going to share nowhere, no how, with nobody, no way. Everything I have is mine, and you can't have any. There are people like that. Some people share because they play by the rule, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, right? I'll do something nice for you if you do something nice for me. And our world is filled with this kind of sharing. There are those who share like the Pharisees did in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus tells his followers, I do not want you to be like the Pharisees, who when they share, when they give their money to the poor, they have trumpets proclaim that they are coming. They let everyone know what they are doing. Here's what Jesus says about giving and sharing with others. Whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be praised by others. He says, let your right hand not know what your left hand is doing. Share quietly to help others. Some people, let's face it, they share out of guilt. Guilt is a great motivation for giving, isn't it? You make people feel guilty, you can really get them to give a lot of money. Those ASPCA commercials with the poor puppies in the cages and whoever, Melissa Etheridge, whoever it is singing, you know, the ones that bring you to tears. Great for raising money because they just make you feel awful, don't they? Guilt is a great way to give people to give. And guilt, giving out of guilt can maybe help your guilt so you don't quite feel so guilty. Some people give because sharing is caring. And you don't have to be a Christian to have this mindset. A lot of people are just brought up this way, that it's right to help people. It's right to share with what you have. And that is wonderful. Some people share because it builds up the community. I will give part of what I have to help others. And that, too, is a very good motivation for sharing. And some people share because they are into philanthropy. The word philanthropist in Greek just means somebody who loves people. Okay, some people just love people and they want to share. That beautiful quote from Winston Churchill, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. So, let's ask the question of us as Christians. Why should we share and why should we care? What is it that motivates Christians to give? Now, caring for others, building community, being a lover of people, those are all wonderful. But is there anything specific that sets Christians aside in our motivation for giving? That question is what leads us back to God's diner. Because the Bible has a very strong answer that says yes. Christians have a very strong, special motivation when it comes to our giving. And it's all tied up in remembering. Our giving is all tied up in remembering. Remembering is central to our Christian giving and sharing. And to talk about this, we're going to go all the way back to the second chapter of the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. And the Bible says that the Israelites groaned under their slavery and they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord for deliverance. And look what the next verse in Exodus says. God heard their groaning, and what does God do? God remembers. He remembers his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. God hears the groaning of his people, and God takes notice on them. God remembers his people, and his remembering leads God to act. And we know the story that God sends Moses to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." The people cross the Red Sea. They're freed. They go into the wilderness, and God then leads them to that wonderful land, that land flowing with milk and honey, the land we call the Promised Land. But even before they get to the Promised Land, God tells his people through Moses, when you get there, when the land is yours, when you raise your crops and are harvesting them, I want you to act in a certain way for a certain reason. And here is what God tells people, the words of that lesson we heard today. When you reap your harvest in your field, and forget a sheaf of wheat in the field, do not go back and get it. When you beat your olive trees, you harvest olives by hitting them, hitting the trees with sticks. When you beat your olive trees, do not strip what is left. And when you gather the grapes of your vineyard, do not glean what is left. If you miss some grapes, don't go back and get them. Why? Why were the people of Israel to leave part of their crops in the field? Well, there were three specific reasons why they were to do that. One was the widow, two was the orphan, and three was the stranger living in their land. Why were they to leave it? It was for these who were poor and powerless. These three groups, they needed help. They didn't have food. There was no Social Security. There was no federal aid back then. Nothing like that existed. And God commands his people to leave part of their crops in the field to feed the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner. But there was one more reason for that. And it's this. God told his people, remember. Remember that you were once a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this. The people of Israel were commanded to leave part of their crops for the poor and the powerless as a way of remembering that they were once poor and powerless. And the Lord loved them and cared for them. So as they loved and cared for others, they showed they remembered and they loved and cared for the Lord. It was a constant way of remembering. Remembering is so important in our faith. Remembering shapes relationships. And God warns his people about something. He warns his people, don't forget this. Don't forget this. Do not fall into bad thinking. Because he actually tells his people in the book of Deuteronomy, don't you ever, ever think we have everything, this land and this prosperity, because we are so great and we are so wonderful. Don't you ever, ever say that to yourselves. But remember, God says, remember the Lord your God who made this covenant with you. Don't forget. Remembering is central to the faith of Israel. To love and care for others in the Old Testament is a way of saying, I remember how God loved and cared for me. And it's the same thing for us as Christians. Our giving, our sharing is based upon remembering what God has done for us. Not in the Exodus, but remembering what God has done for us in Jesus. These beautiful Bible verses from 1 John. We love because he, that's God, first loved us. Or from Romans chapter 5, these wonderful words, that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, God, Christ, died for us. God loved first. Or the beautiful and familiar words of John 3:16, here put in the form of a Valentine, that God so loved the world that he gave. And as you see these verses, this is a good way for us as Christians to remember that we need to remember these Bible verses. Memorizing Bible verses is a pretty good thing, you know? Eighth graders remember that when we have you memorize Bible verses later in our New Testament class, okay? Remembering is a good thing. God gives us other ways of remembering. Baptism. Baptism is a constant way of remembering what God has done for us. When little Callie is baptized today at our second service, we will remind her and all of us that in holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death. And I love our font here at Grace, because if you listen, you hear the water. It's always there. It's always reminding us. Holy Communion is a way in which God calls us to remember what he has done for us. What does Jesus actually say in the words of institution? Do this in remembrance of me. Every time we come and take this meal at the table, we remember what God has done for us. And in that remembering, we put our faith into action. We live out the golden rule you just heard last week. Because you know what? The widow, the orphan, and the stranger are still in our world today. They're still here, and we need to care for them. So how do we, as the people of Grace, how do we live out this commandment? How do we remember? How do we care? And how do we share? There's a very, very long list. Out in our gathering area, we have that yellow bucket, the one can plan, where you can bring food that goes to our local food pantry to help the hungry, even here in Ozaukee County, one of the richest counties in the entire nation, where people think nobody has problems and there are no poor people. There are. And we are called to help. Our Sunday school kids are doing the toucan plan as they bring their donations to help the poor and the hungry. We are four blocks from Family Sharing here in Grafton, a wonderful organization to which we give money to help that has a food pantry for the poor and the needy in our own community. Just on Thursday night, we sent a group down to St. Ben's in Milwaukee, where they were those who shared the meal with the poor, the hungry, and the homeless in our own community. We, of course, we support Meg in her circle of empowerment and the amazing work she does for the poor and the powerless in Nicaragua. And we as a congregation, we support the work of All People's Church, our sister congregation in the inner city. And if you're not aware of it, All People's this last year received a grant from our synod, and they are remodeling their kitchen, and they are working with St. Vincent de Paul to open a meal program at All People's to feed the poor and the hungry in the inner city. And we at Grace can be part of that. Coming up next month, we have a coat drive for All Peoples. And Debbie Donovan, who directs our handbill, she just came back from a mission trip to Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, one of the poorest communities in the nation. And we're going to be having a drive to raise, to have shoes and boots donated for the children there. Coming up next month is Operation Christmas Child. And we know how great you support that. It's a way of helping others in Christ's name. And we at Grace, we are part of the larger church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, nearly 10,000 congregations, 4.5 million Christians, and we do amazing things to help the poor and the hungry in our country and all around the world. And we as a Lutheran church, we are also those who go out and we help those suffering from disaster. Remember, we're just collecting donations for the Ebola Project. Our church is always in the forefront of that. And then on top of that, there's everything you do. All your acts of caring and sharing that are done in the community, that are done with friends or neighbors, that are done quietly, that maybe nobody else does, but you know what? Your Heavenly Father knows what you do in secret. And all those little things you do, those big things you may be doing as well, those are ways in which we remember and we care and we share. In our Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, we remind everyone that it's God's work, but God uses our hands to do that work. When we affirm our baptismal promises, which our ninth graders will do next May, one of the promises we make is that we will serve following the example of Jesus Christ, the one who gave everything for us. Those are just a few of the ways in which we are called to serve in God's diner. And we do serve in God's diner. But just remember this, folks. We all pull shifts in God's diner. Every one of us. We are all called to be those who work, who care, who share, and who love others. So remember that. Remember what you do. Remember what God has done for you. And always. Always let that remembering open your hearts, your minds, and your bodies to care and share with others in Christ's name. Amen. Take a quiet moment and in prayer, thank the Lord for all he has done for you and ask him to always help you remember and show that remembering in action.